The baseball season is underway, and we are grateful for that because, you know, spring training runs on a little too long for everybody unless you're a pitcher trying to get your pitches in. And so your takeaways from Game 1, Toronto Blue Jays and the Baltimore Orioles. It's one. There's 161 to go. And there were a lot of positives for the Blue Jays despite the loss.
There were. And I do think we certainly saw yesterday the Edwin Encarnacion swing, if you will. I mean, obviously, he hits a big home run for the Indians in the eighth inning to really help them win that ball game. And the Jays, I believe, they're 3 through 6 hitters were combined 0 for 17. So I think his absence was certainly felt by the Jays, and his presence was an obvious benefit to Cleveland. But I think you look at the way that the pitching was there, Elliot, yesterday for the Jays, and it was very solid outing, really from beginning to end. I mean, Grilly just hung one breaking ball too many to Trumbo. But I do think, and I know we talked about it last week, that we're still seeing a bit of that adjustment phase for the Jays lineup. I still think it's a well above average lineup that's going to hit, no question about that. But I do believe we're seeing some of that period of, okay, you've lost Edwin, you've got Morales coming in, Bautista, I think, stranded 8 runners yesterday. The time that Donaldson missed, and I know Donaldson was fine yesterday, that's very good at bats. But I think they're just still finding their way a little bit collectively as a group. And for a long time, those at-bats, when you saw the way that Bautista and Edwin functioned so well together, and Donaldson was in that mix as well, and Tulo, there was a really good rhythm there. And I think it's just going to take some time for what I believe is still going to be a very good lineup to find their way now early in the season.
I mentioned earlier, John, that some people like the quote or the proverb almost, you can't win, you can't make the playoffs in April, but you can knock yourself out. And no one's expecting, like, 2013 was so much promise for the Jays, and they started 9-17. That in the AL East is a lot to work back from. What is the point where you look and go, I got a good sense of the season? Now it's not just a good start, it's a good season. Is it 30 games? Is it 40? Is it Memorial Day? When do you look at it?
Well, Sparky only said 40 games, right, Greg? So I guess
that's because he won 35. That's because he won 35 of them 1 year, I think. That's why.
That's right. Well, 35-5 was pretty good. So I'm a little pre-programmed to think about 40 games. But I think it's usually a pretty good measure. You saw last year, I'll mention the Astros. I can't recall exactly what the number was in terms of what their rough start was. They almost made it back from it. But to your point, it was just too big of a hole. They played very good baseball really from about, I believe, June 1 on to the end of the year, maybe even mid-May. But in that division, it was just too much.
Just to help you, John, they were 7-17 in April, so you nailed it. They were terrible.
And that's what it was. The Astros, it just stung them last year, and then they were a very good ball club. They were a good ball club the previous year. They were a good ball club really over the last 5 months last season, but just that 1 month stung them. And so I think that when you look at a division that's as competitive as we expect the East to be, then I do think that the at least a respectable 500 April becomes paramount. That being said, I'll make this point. There's been so much talk, Greg, about the Red Sox, and they're a popular pick. I've seen some Red Sox Cubs World Series picked. I've seen plenty of people thinking that Boston's going to win the league. I think there is a gap between the Indians and everybody else. And I think the Red Sox are part of the everybody else. They're not that 1A behind Cleveland. Cleveland, look at their rotation, is so solid. Their bullpen, we saw it again yesterday with Miller and Allen. And their lineup, I think, with Brantley and Encarnacion, has a chance to be even better than it was last year. And Lindor just keeps getting better and better. The Indians, to me, are the class of the league until someone proves otherwise. And I don't see a team right now that's as good as what the Indians are, especially with Boston. You've got Price on the DL, Pomeranz in the DL, and Tyler Thornburg, who's supposed to be a key guy in that bullpen, on the DL as well. When you have that much quality pitching on the DL to start your season, it's going to really show up, I believe, early on in the year. So I think Boston has some work to do. And I'm making that point because I think the East in general, guys, I don't see one team that's clearly better than everybody else. I think Boston has flaws. The Jays have flaws. Tampa impressed me certainly on Sunday when maybe some people thought they were going to be fifth place. So it's a division that I think is going to stay closer than maybe we have seen in many years in the past.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, JP, on Cleveland. I mean, they almost won the World Series operating, what, at like 65% of capacity by the time they were knocking on Chicago's door? So obviously it looks like they are way ahead of the class. Now, you mentioned all the teams in the East, but the New York Yankees, could go either way. They certainly look like a team that could finish under 500.
I agree, Elliot. And again, it's the period of transition for the Yankees continues. Last year that they made the moves to the deadline, very, very well received by the industry. They got a lot of talent back. But Tanaka, boy, did not have a good outing on Sunday, and the rotation depth simply is not there. I think Pineda, CC, really their fourth and fifth spots, there was a competition in spring training with Severino winning one of them. It really doesn't feel like the dominant Yankee teams that we have seen in years past, really for two straight decades. I think the luster from that standpoint where it seemed like the pinstripes alone were worth 40 wins a year just by themselves, that's no longer the case. So it's a different lineup. There's a lot of youth there as well. They're missing D.D. Gregorius right now. Judge is in the lineup as a very young everyday player along with Bird. There's just a lot of youth there in the lineup and a lot of rotation thinness, I'll call it, whether it's due to age in the case of Sabathia or youth in the case of Severino, where he's still trying to establish himself a little bit. So I agree. I have some very strong reservations about them that I think were really illuminated by the way that Sunday's game went. And again, it's one game, they're 0-1, but there's still, I think, a lot to be figured out about the way this team is setting up here for the course of the season.
John Morosi, our guest on Brady and Price Sports and starting lineup at 8:20. We've got the action tomorrow, second and final game from Camden Yards with Dylan Bundy against Jay Happ. We've got it at 7:00 tomorrow. Feels like already this season, when it comes to trade deadline, there's early candidates. Your colleague Ken Rosenthal picked Jose Quintana to win the Cy Young Award in the AL, but he predicted him to win with the Houston Astros. It feels like he's an obvious trade candidate. Ryan Braun in Milwaukee's an obvious one. Colorado's got a couple guys. It's not like Detroit had to decide to trade David Price, and the year before Boston had to decide to trade John Lester. It feels like we have these obvious candidates early on from non-contenders, right?
We do, and of course, Greg, there's the other category of players from the possible sellers based on how the season goes, and also just the economic realities. Kansas City is one such case. Hosmer, free agent to be. Moustakas, free agent to be. Kane, free agent to be. So if things go the wrong direction for KC, I could see them being sellers. The Tigers, JD Martinez, final guaranteed year of his deal. Kinsler, of course, has the option, but I think if things go south for the Tigers, he becomes a possibility. So there are a lot of teams in the industry right now, Greg, that are in transitional phases, and I think KC, the Tigers, are certainly two of them, and as you mentioned, the White Sox still in the midst of this rebuild. Quintana is everybody's popular pick to be traded. David Robertson could be dealt as well, and on that particular idea about Houston, that's a really good team, and Ken predicted it with Quintana. The Astros, I think, Greg, are really one team, one player away, one pitcher away from being a World Series, if not contender, World Series favorite, potentially. That's a really good lineup, and I think we saw Correa have some phenomenal at-bats last night. And they also have, I think, that with Beltran, a really nice story. I mean, he comes back to Houston. He had been with them 12 years ago. I guess it's been more than 12 years out of the fall of 2004. He is back there now, the sort of the veteran emeritus who can still play. He's chasing the World Series trophy, which he still hasn't won. So he's got that nice kind of like end-of-career Ray Bourque quality about what he's doing right now that I think is going to lend a lot of energy to what the Astros have this season. So I love Houston's team. I think Quintana's a great fit there. And if he goes there, guys, it would not surprise me at all if the Houston Astros win the World Series.